This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Rizdahl. We are going to get the August job numbers on Friday. And while we don't know yet exactly what the unemployment rate is going to be, one thing is certain. The black unemployment rate is going to be higher. It's going to be a lot higher than the white unemployment rate. It's been that way as long as we've been measuring it. Last month, 9.2% unemployment for white workers, 14.6% for black workers.
You know, a lot of the way I experienced the economy, how I came to study economics, how I came to think that policy work in economics is a way to change people's lives is rooted in, you know, my journey as a black woman in, you know, seeing my mom and my aunts and my grandmothers and how, you know, their experience with the economy really had effects that rippled through our family, through our community, through our society.
That's Janelle Jones. She's the managing director of policy and research at the Groundwork Collaborative, joined today to talk about why the way that black women are treated in this economy matters for all of us by Professor Michelle Holder. She's at John Jay College at the City University of New York.
Please call me Michelle. Only my students have to call me Professor Holder.
Noted, but having a Michelle and a Janelle in one radio story gets tricky in a hurry, so we are going to stick with Professor Holder.
Okay.
Thanks for understanding.
Sure.
These two women know each other, we should say. In fact, they recently published a paper together on black women and COVID-19. But how black women get by in this economy isn't just something these two study. It's something they live.
I'm a black woman. I'm a black woman, and I actually did face a wage gap issue.
Professor Holder was working at a nonprofit years ago.
And I had a white male colleague and a white female colleague. And I noticed that I was being paid $5,000 to $10,000 less.
She negotiated a raise and did wind up staying at the company for a while. But she also knows she's not the only black woman with a story about making less than her white male colleagues. In 2019, black women earned around 62 cents on the dollar compared to white men. And that is in part, Holder says, because of the kinds of jobs black women tend to do and the educations they tend to have.
And then there's a third element, which really boils down to discrimination and bias.
In recessions, black women have been among the hardest hit and the last to benefit when the recovery starts. Right now, their unemployment rate is 13.5%. Black women are also far more likely to be the main breadwinners in their families when compared to other groups of women. Janelle Jones at the Groundwork Collaborative sees those economic realities that black women face as an opportunity.
For making better, more inclusive economic policy that I think really will make everyone else better off.
And she's got these three little words, this catchphrase that she's been saying for a while now to sum it up.
Black women best.
Black women best.
Black women best is a framework and ideology that says we should shift the economic worldview to center and elevate black women in ways that will benefit the rest of us.
In other words, if we set up the economy in a way that makes sure black women are doing well, the rest of us benefit.
The pushback I often get is, oh, well, you just want black women to do well while everyone else lives in poverty. And it's like, no, that's not true at all. The idea of black women best is incredibly inclusionary because it means that listening to folks who, you know, have ideas for solutions, who think about the economy differently, who experience it differently, who also, you know, because of the makeup of our society are often breadwinners, who often are leading households. Centering this group of workers is important, you know, at any moment, but particularly now as we think about, you know, ways to rebuild the economy in a way that, in a way that is more fair and equitable and inclusive, given our current economic recession.
Well, say more about what happens if black women are prioritized. What happens in the rest of the economy?
Yeah. So I think, you know, something I've been saying is in the history of this country, it is impossible for black women to be doing well when everyone else is not doing well. When we say that our economy is not recovered until black workers have full employment, what that means is that a ton of other demographic groups have already gotten there because black unemployment has been so high. And I think that, you know, centering black women is a perfect way to do that because they are at the intersection of systemic racism and, you know, misogyny that different groups definitely experience. But it's, you know, it's that intersection that really does matter.
That intersection where racial bias meets the gender bias that Janelle Jones is talking about, it's not just anecdotal. It's something that economists study and something that Michelle Holder has quantified.
It's pretty enormous.
Just how enormous? After a quick break. were talking a minute ago about the obstacles Black women face in this economy, specifically the place where racial bias meets gender bias.
I've written about this topic, and I call it the double gap.
That's Professor Michelle Holder, again, John Jay College at the City University of New York.
Black women not only face the gender wage gap, as does most women in the American economy, but Black women also face a racial wage gap.
One that, remember, she has experienced firsthand.
I noticed that I was being paid $5,000 to $10,000 less.
But she wanted a way to look at all those experiences Black women have, all those stories they tell about making less than their white male colleagues in the aggregate.
So I quantified it, and the estimate that I came up with, and I have to say, it's a conservative estimate, is about $50 billion a year.
$50 billion. That's how much income Black women are losing every single year compared to white men with the same level of education doing the same kinds of jobs.
One should bear in mind that this is a reoccurring involuntary loss, not just to Black women, but the Black community writ large in the United States.
But that money, that $50 billion a year, it isn't just about the Black community.
There is this idea that like a rising tide lifts all boats.
Janelle Jones again from the Groundwork Collaborative.
The rising tide of, I guess, capitalism, which I think, you know, there's some evidence to say, not quite. But there is a lot of evidence that shows that when we center workers who are usually left behind, those who are usually last to cover from recession, that it means that everyone else does well. It's a little bit like the minimum wage debate in that, you know, when you raise the minimum wage to $7.25, the folks who are making $7.50, $8.50, they also receive an increase. It kind of like spills up the effects. And I think that's the same thing that we see with Black women best.
You know, it's interesting. You say center and I said prioritize, and obviously yours is much more useful and germane, right, to what sort of needs to happen.
Yeah, well, the idea with prioritizing is that, like, there's always something else that happens. I think, you know, the current world that we live in is like, we have a million priorities at this point, right? We have a global pandemic. Sure. We have an upcoming election. We have an economic recession. We have racial uprisings. Like, the idea that there's, like, some priority that's bigger than the other one, I don't know. I think that, like, centering for me makes sense because it means just like keeping that thing core as all of this other stuff kind of rages around.
What do you suppose actually has to happen, though, like policy wise, for Black women to be centered in this economy? What is that?
That is a great question that I honestly think people are afraid to answer because it's not easy. The system of like systemic racism and just embedded discrimination in our economy is multifaceted. It is like self-reinforcing. I imagine that if somehow we could break it down, it would like recreate itself. It's so many things at once. I think often when people ask that, they want me to say one thing. It's like, oh, well, if we close the racial income gap and Black women make as much as white men, it will be perfect. And I don't think that's true because we have a huge racial wealth gap. We know that Black women are less likely to get hired. They're less likely to get promoted. Like, it's all of these interacting things, which means that there's not a silver bullet. And it means that it's real work.
But Janelle Jones says, ultimately,
it really does have to be a true conversation about power. I think it's a lot of people who are holding positions of power really just like being willing to share that.
We did an hour-long special about access to some of that power, the racial wealth gap, and what it takes to create an economy that works for everybody. That special lives online at marketplace.org. Click on the specials tab at the top of the page.